A few very well-known verses in Acts chapter 16, please. The Acts, book of the Acts, chapter 16, verse 30. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Nice to see a whole household saved in just one night. Now we look to the Lord to bless this reading from his precious word. I was thinking over the weekend, isn't it amazing where people get saved? We noticed on Friday evening, three crosses standing side by side. And in the center cross, the Lord Jesus dying for sin. But we noticed on Friday evening, there's a man. And that man is going to be in heaven because he turned to the Lord Jesus in the center cross, said, Lord, remember me. And the Savior said, today with me in paradise. Now imagine a person getting saved on the cross. And the way it appealed to me on the platform Friday evening was, isn't it a big change from dying on a cross to glory? Isn't it? Leaving all the suffering and arriving in heaven. That's a big thing, isn't it? So I want to look at tonight, not a man on the cross, but a man in the prison. Imagine a man getting saved in the prison. Good job he wasn't a prisoner, mind you. The prisoner died on the cross on Friday night. Here we're looking at the prison keeper down in the prison. He's going to get saved. And when you look at this man, it's amazing what you see. The first thing is impressed me was his total foolishness up to this point. You see, he had no thought of God. We're living in a day like that. They'll even deny the existence of God. All he was interested in was the job. And it paid very well. Robert had us a few years ago down at this place. And we saw the lovely terrazzo floor where he lived. They're redoing the house. He had a good lifestyle, but no God. He had a good job, no God. And that's how he lived. And that's how he wanted to live. Isn't it amazing how God can turn a person round? Because in one night, a man that lived as if there was no God is confronted by God. That's what we need in these meetings. We need people to face up to the fact, as our brother Edmund has said, they're going to meet God. And how did it happen? Well, a big earthquake. You've heard that earthquake in Turkey. Well, this was in Turkey. Big earthquake. And when we were there, Robert, we saw the prison, and half of the prison was destroyed, and the inner prison was just a cave, and it's still there. I thought to myself, if the prisoners had been kept in the outer part of it, they'd have all died, but they were put into the inner prison. And God shakes the whole thing up. Allowing a prisoner to hear the gospel that wouldn't go out, went out to hear it. God brought the prisoners in, the preachers in. And here they are, this man who had no thought, suddenly started to look at life and the realities of life. What do you think of his fears? It says he sprang out of bed. He took the two prisoners and put them in the inner prison and went to sleep. Job done. God shook the very foundations. The man jumped out of bed, saw the door of the prison open, and it says he took his sword and would have killed himself. That's a silly business. But they're at it still. The result of drugs and drink and everything else, suicides up through the roof. Do you know all that means? A person meets God sooner. And in their sins. Oh, I see the two preachers. And they shout, "Do thyself no harm." I would love to have a voice that would sound right throughout Belfast tonight. To men and women and boys and girls, "Do thyself no harm." And he took a light and he sprang in, right into the prison, to see the two prisoners there. Eh? And you know, I wonder, this could have been the first time he's ever heard the gospel. And I don't know many times some people have heard it and haven't believed it yet. But he says to them, this is what we want to get to quickly. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, I would have started off by saying, "Do nothing, mister, because the whole work's done." Preacher didn't say that. I love this. They got him right to the only one who could save. We don't preach ourselves. You can't come into a gospel hall, it won't save you. There's only one person, as we've heard, could save you. The Lord Jesus. And together, they cried to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved." And notice this, on the house. Because that's what impressed my mind. A whole family getting saved in one night. Boys, that doesn't happen too often. I had meetings down in Cookstown. I think there was 10 professed in those meetings. And 9 out of the 10 completed families. From 9 years of age up to about 72 or 82. Eh? A big thing. Big thing for the whole family to get saved. I think of your family. How many saved in it? Who's saved? And you're not? Oh, here's a message. It's going to transform a family. Boy, it's great to see a whole family saved. And the preachers say, "Look, only one can save you. The Lord Jesus." Why is the Lord Jesus able to save you? Well, if God gave his son and the Savior gave everything, and Calvary was a reality, and he was lifted up on the cross, and the Bible says he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Oh, I'm dogmatic tonight. There's only one can save you. Christ is the only Savior. Mighty to save. He suffered once to put away sins. And on Calvary a mighty work was done that you couldn't do and religion can't do and nobody else could do. Christ done by offering himself without spot to God. And when the Savior said, "It's finished," everything was fully done. You can't complete a finished work, can you? I often give a wee illustration. Say you got one of these masterpieces, and I don't know where they get the billions of pounds in these things nowadays. But if I got one up on the platform, and there it is, and I got a wee tin of paint, and I put my wee brush in, and I went over to it and thought, "I'll change that flower there from yellow to red." And I approached it. Do you know what I'm sure that somebody would shout? "Don't you touch that because you'll spoil it." No, my friend, you can't add to a finished work. You can't improve a finished work. The work is done. And how are we so sure? For it says God raised him from the dead. It's an empty tomb. He's now in heaven's glory. The Lord Jesus alone can save for eternity. And here the preachers say, believe on him. Oh, that's interesting. Get occupied with him. Didn't we notice the other evening? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There's life through a look at the crucified one. Believe. What does that mean? Well, I got off that chair, but before I sat down in that chair, I believed it would hold me. Do you think if I sat down in that chair and had a doubt about it, would it be too happy? I was absolutely sure when I sat in the chair, I'd be safe. When a person rests their all by faith on the Lord Jesus, they're as safe as God can make them. The earthquake couldn't shake it out of him. Here's a dear man, heard the gospel once, and it transformed his whole life. A cruel, hard, callous individual. It says he took them and thrust them into the inner prison. Didn't need to do that. All the magistrates wanted them to do was to hold on to them. Thrust them into the inner prison. But he turns around, says in verse 34 what that we read, believing with all his house. Do you know what happened? He gets them and he bathes their wounds. And he washes them. And he makes a big dinner for them. And he has them in his house. Do you know, if you trusted Christ, your life would be transformed tonight. Wouldn't it? How can you go through life knowing you're not saved, and if you die, you'll be in hell for eternity? But salvation not only saves for eternity, but it saves for time. There's something about it. Do you know, I wouldn't give anything up. God's salvation up. I wouldn't give any of it up. If you won £1 million or someone offered you £1 million. As soon as some of these boys win the lottery, it destroys them. But the gift of God is eternal life. And when a soul comes into the good of knowing that Christ has died, and he's put away my sin, and he's suffered on Calvary and paid the price. And the joy of that. And the knowledge that you're going to glory. Oh, transformed. Did I say about the wee man in Newton Arts that was going through Newton Arts and heard an open air meeting that God would change his onion boxes, or orange boxes was it, into Chesterfields? And he was sitting with an onion box for a seat. And did it change it? Absolutely, became a preacher. And I tell you, my friend, the only hope for you making it through life without a disaster is you getting God's salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put in your whole dependence on Christ. Resting your all for eternity. Take Christ away from me tonight and I have nothing. But Christ is everything. And we can rejoice in that. And I would love you to... I wonder, do you even believe you're a sinner? I wonder, do you believe if you died, you'd be under the judgment of God for eternity? Do you really believe that? If you do, why are you not awakened up to the reality? There's an urgency in this. Says my Bible in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My dear one, it's time you received. It's time you got away from yourself and got occupied with Christ. Believe. Not about the Lord Jesus. I'm sure I could go round this audience. And everybody could tell me all about the Lord Jesus. Born of a virgin, lived a holy life, died at Calvary. There's all the difference in believing about and depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a farmer in Scotland, and this boy got into trouble swimming, and the farmer saved him. And that boy became a surgeon in London. Outstanding surgeon. And the farmer took sick and had to have a serious operation. And he had requested the surgeon to undertake the situation. So they prepared him for the surgery. And the surgeon came in before he went into the operating theatre. And he said to the surgeon, "I knew all about you. I told everybody about you. But now I'm going to depend on you." See, knowing about the surgeon wouldn't have done him that much good. But allowing that surgeon to take a knife and allowing that surgeon to do the work, I say again, what must I do to be saved? I would have said nothing, but the preacher said, believe, rest on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I've told you this before too. The wee Welsh woman came to me when we were having meetings in Wales, and she said, "You want to know the Welsh translation?" I said, "I'd love to know the Welsh translation." And she said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." I thought, there's no change in that. And then she got to it. She said, "Saved thou art." That would do, wouldn't it? You do the believing, resting on Christ, and God does the saving. Saved the word. How do I know I'm saved this afternoon? My Bible tells me, he that believeth on the Son has got everlasting life. So a man goes to heaven from a tree at Calvary, all because he trusted the man on the center cross. And a man gets saved in a prison. Wouldn't it be a tremendous thing if somebody got saved in the hall today through a simple gospel meeting and started for heaven? Shall we pray?